Let's take a moment to still our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Just before we come to read God's holy word, we've been reminded here this evening about a day that is yet to be, a day of fearful judgment. One day the trumpet's awful sound will be heard. What a day that will be when the judge of all the earth comes again, and at his call the dead awaken, rise to life from earth and sea. If you know not the Lord, I trust that you'll take heed to the hymn that speaks of a time when the great judge will say, "Depart," to those who know him not. If you know Christ, you have nothing to fear. The hymn says, "Come near, ye blessed. We shall be received by the Lord in that day." Our gracious God, we thank thee for the grace given to so many in this church building tonight to make the preparation to meet God. We ought to be living in the light of that day. We thank thee that Jesus is coming again. We know that there is a judgment. Thy word speaks often of it. And we pray that men and women will hear thy word tonight. If they're not prepared aright for the judgment day, may they turn and seek the Savior. May they come and confess him as their Lord and Savior. Know what it is to have their sins forgiven, to have a right relationship with God through Christ. We pray that you'll touch our hearts in thy word. You'll speak to us now as we come again to this series of messages and we think of Pontius Pilate. O Lord, open our hearts to divine truth. We pray that thou will deal with men and women, young people, out of Christ without a Savior, with no hope nor refuge nigh. They need the Redeemer. They need to be saved. Lord, impress this truth upon their soul. May this be the night when they'll turn from their darkness into the light of the gospel and seek the Lord while he may be found. Give help to the preacher, Lord. We seek thee in the word as we read it now and as we seek to preach the gospel message that you've laid upon our hearts. Lord, we pray for the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost to attend this meeting. Lord, baptize me with power now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turning to the 19th chapter of John's Gospel, the day of the cross is the overall theme of these messages. Sunday night by Sunday night, we come to message 4 as we think of Pontius Pilate, and we're thinking about his fear, his guilty fear. Verse 1 of John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Ending the reading there at the 12th verse. Verse 8 says, When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Pontius Pilate has gone down infamously in history as the Roman ruler who convicted Jesus Christ of treason for declaring himself to be the King of the Jews. He sentenced him to the cruel death of crucifixion. But who was he? Where did he come from? What do we know about him? What does the Scripture say concerning this man? For really, at the end of the day, it's the only reliable source of information. It's the only infallible record that we have. The Word of God has a considerable amount to record about him during the trial of Jesus. Several chapters of the New Testament record the history, highlight the statements, and give us an idea of the thoughts and the feelings and the attitudes concerning Jesus during the short 5 or 6 hours when Christ crosses his path. These details must be extremely important and instructive when the Holy Ghost puts them on record. So much detail that we can learn from and apply to many realities and our circumstances in the modern age. Centuries have passed by, in fact, almost 2 millennia. So much has changed during that time in the world. But there's one thing that remains the same, and that's the true character and state of men's hearts in relationship to God and his beloved Son. The heart of man is still the same. His hatred of truth and rejection of Christ is still as apparent today as it was back in the days of the Savior. From time to time, the Savior, with all his influence and all his presence, crosses our paths. We're brought near to him. For Pontius Pilate, it was one very powerful encounter for 5 or 6 hours, one very dramatic an important day in Pilate's life that would settle his eternal destiny forever. One extremely remarkable opportunity that would never be repeated in his entire lifetime. But that was the moment of decision for him. For us, it is those encounters that we have with Jesus Christ through his word. When Christ crosses our path, when we're brought face to face with him through gospel meetings like this. Evangelistic missions that are held, personal conversations that are entered into with God's people as they seek to be a witness for the Lord, those moments of Bible reading and study, times when gospel tracts are given out, these are opportunity times, decisive moments which often seal the destiny of man for eternity. And so I say, be careful. If you're not saved in this meeting, what do you do with these meetings? What do you do with the opportunities and the privileges that God gives to you? What do you do with these preaching times, these encounters that you have with the Son of God? We do not know the date of Pilate's birthday, but it is believed that he came from a central part of Italy. He served as the prefect of Judea from 26 to 36 A.D., Emperor Tiberius appointed him to that position in 26 AD. And while the typical term for a Roman prefect was 1 to 3 years, Pilate was to hold that post for 10 years in total. As Roman prefect, he was granted the power of supreme judge, which meant that he had the sole authority to order a criminal's execution. His duties included such mundane things or tasks as tax collection and managing construction projects. But perhaps the most crucial responsibility was that of maintaining law and order. What he couldn't do by negotiation, it is said that he accomplished by brute force. As governor of Judea, Pilate faced a conflict of interests between the Roman emperor on one hand and the Jewish Sanhedrin on the other. When Jesus declared himself to be king of the Jews, it was considered an act of treason by the Roman government. And according to some sources, Pontius Pilate collaborated with the Jewish leaders in having Jesus condemned. The Gospels show that the trial of Jesus was cruel and unfair. All four Gospels describe Pilate as a weakling succumbing to the Jewish authorities' pressure to execute Jesus. Pilate ceased to be the Roman governor in AD 36, and by all accounts, he died a short time afterwards. But what do we know for sure? We know what the Bible tells us. We know that on at least one occasion, Pilate proposed to let Jesus go. "I will therefore chastise him and release him." We know that he marveled when Jesus stood in silence before him. And when he was accused, he had not one word to say in his defense. We know that Pilate declared repeatedly, as far as he was concerned, that Jesus was innocent. "I find no fault in this man," he said over and over again. We know that his wife sent him a message, an important message, seeking to cause him to think seriously about what he was doing and not to be entangled with the affairs of Jesus. We know that he tried to give the people a choice between Jesus and Barabbas, and we'll come one evening to consider that. We know that he was troubled momentarily in heart about the whole affair. And we know from our text tonight that fear gripped his soul when he heard who Jesus was. But that didn't last, as we shall see. However, Pontius Pilate treated Jesus pathetically. He allowed false charges to stand. He had him scourged. It was a cruel beating. He permitted him to be punched, spat upon, dressed in a mock robe, humiliated. He allowed a painful crown of thorns to be pressed into his head. And then he finally and irrevocably made his decision, as all men do. When they come into contact with Jesus, men make decisions. And this man made his decision. As we read it in verse 16, it says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified." You will make your decision concerning Christ. You stand in his presence. You are confronted by the claims of the Savior through the gospel. Every time you come to God's house, that happens. You may declare many wonderful things about the Lord, as Pontius Pilate did. We know that from the many statements that he made. You will be faithfully warned. Pilate was warned by his wife, some husband, some Christian, some family member, some preacher will warn you faithfully from the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ. You will be troubled in your conscience. You will fear as you ponder your eternal destiny and who Christ really is and how you are responding to him and how you are treating him. But a decision will be made, finally and irrevocably, just as Pilate made his decision. And so tonight I want you to think about his fear, his guilty fear, as we have it in our text of Scripture, verse 8 of John chapter 19. I want you to think about the reality of his fear. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. To fear was the right thing to do. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A man has not proper knowledge and proper wisdom until he comes to fear the Lord. That's where true knowledge and true wisdom commences. Jesus Christ counseled the people of his day in Matthew 10 and 28 to fear him who was able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. In fact, it is one of the very first steps to salvation. Before a man can be saved, before he can be redeemed and at length go to heaven, a man needs a true fear of God in his heart. Fearing his sin or the consequences of his sin. Fearing the God before whom one day he must stand. There are sadly many who fear, but it comes to nothing. You read about men in the Bible who did fear. Fear because of the things of God, but it didn't come to anything as far as their salvation was concerned. You read about a very powerful man in the kingdom of Babylon in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Belshazzar. You remember he made a feast for 1,000 of his lords. It was just really a drinking session. And you remember that night, the hand of God began to write on the plaster of the wall. Whenever he saw this happening, it was supernatural, it was miraculous, he couldn't explain it. The Bible tells us that he feared, he shook, but it came to nothing. He didn't repent of his sin, he didn't seek the Lord. We think of Herod in the New Testament. When he listened to the preaching of the fiery preacher, John the Baptist, he feared John. He didn't fear John because he was a mere man. No, he feared John in his preaching. The things that John had to present as he declared the gospel. And Herod looked at him and observed his life and he feared him. Feared what he had to say. But Herod never repented. Never got right with God. We read later on in the New Testament about Felix. And how Paul had the opportunity to present to him some of the glorious truths of the gospel in his testimony. And to challenge him about where he stood with the Lord. The Bible says Felix trembled. He feared. But he wasn't saved. And here's another example in God's word tonight. In the history of this man, in the short encounter that he had with the Son of God when he was here upon the earth, we're told that Pilate feared the more. It was the right thing to do. Pilate, you know, had lived a life without fear up until this point. History tells us about the kind of a man that he was. One contemporary Jewish historian, Philo, describes him as a violent thug, fond of executions without trial. Josephus recounts another incident in which Pilate spent money from the temple to build an aqueduct. When Jews protested against his actions, Pilate had soldiers hidden in the crowd of Jews while he was addressing them, and after giving the signal, Pilate's soldiers randomly attacked, beat, and killed scores of the Jews to silence their petitions. In describing his personality, Philo writes that Pilate had vindictiveness and a furious temper, and he was naturally inflexible, a blend of self-will and relentless. Roman rulers, of course, generally were immoral men. They were given to bribes. They were hard and cruel men, men that lived sinful lives. And Pilate was no different. He arose in the morning to live another day without any fear of God before his mind and heart. God was not in his thoughts. He conducted his affairs without the fear of the Lord. He made his decisions without the fear of God. He treated other people without fearing God. He lived his life of immorality and sensuality and intemperance and sin without a fear of the Lord. But now, right here, at this moment, fear grips his heart. What about you? You rise in the morning to go out into another day. How do you think about God? Do you fear the Lord? Or do you live your days without any fear of God before your eyes? You go out to work or to school without fearing God. You drive your car, and you just think about it with all the accidents on the roads and the many deaths in this province, and yet you drive every day without fearing God. You make your decisions without fearing the Lord. You treat people the way that you do without fearing God. You practice your deeds of lust and sin without fearing God. You talk the way you do. You cheat in life. You cheat upon other people. You steal from your neighbor. You allow your heart to be filled with covetous thoughts, and there's no fear of God entering your mind and heart. It's obvious by the conduct of many people today that they live this way. There's no fear. You listen to their filthy conversations and you know there's no fear. You note the dishonesty of their dealings and they don't fear God. You see the provocative way in which some of the women dress and there's certainly no fear of God. You observe their rebellious nature and they've little real thought about God. Little thought about death. Little thought about the consequences of their sin. Little thought about eternity and meeting God and standing in the judgment. Little thought about hell itself. This is how they live. Have you ever feared God? Have you ever feared what you're doing? Feared the consequences of what you're doing? Feared the judgment? Feared standing before the great white throne? Pilate feared. I want you to see that now. He feared. This big, hardened, sinful Roman ruler had a moment of fear gripping his heart. You know, you want to thank God if you were so inwardly moved to fear. To possess a genuine fear when it comes to spiritual things and eternal matters, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. The reality of his fear, he feared on this occasion. But you'll see in the same text the reason of his fear. Why did he fear? It says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, when he heard that saying, he was the more afraid. When he heard that saying, what did he hear? That Jesus was the Son of God, as we see in the previous verse. Pilate hadn't lived in Judea in contact with the Jewish people without realizing what that meant. The Jews were expecting the Messiah to come. And now, especially in these days, they were longing for the deliverer to come and to free them from Rome's tyranny and oppression. They thought the Messiah would come in such a way to deliver them from Rome. The Son of God was a title or term that clearly referred to the deity of Jesus Christ. Back in John chapter 5 and verse 18, the Jews considered that when the Lord said that that God was his Father, he made himself equal with God. They tried to kill him for making such a claim. They took up stones in chapter 10 of John's Gospel for the same reason. The Jews clearly understood the term Son of God to mean God the Son. And so in John chapter 19, in our reading tonight, in verse 7, the Jews declare the death sentence. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." So there was no doubt in the Jewish mind what that term meant. Jesus was saying he was God. As soon as Pilate hears that saying, fear grips his heart. For a few moments, he possesses a different frame of mind. Previously, he knew that Christ was innocent, but he didn't really care. Now, it seems, he becomes really frightful and uncomfortable. The thought that this meek, gentle prisoner before him might, after all, be some superior being and not a mere common man filled his guilty conscience with alarm. He was the more afraid. The more afraid. He already feared knowing of our Lord's innocence and anxious to set him free. The message from his wife, in all likelihood, caused him to be a little troubled. Well, you would think that that would be the case. And of course, prior to the trial, Pilate heard many reports about the miracle-working Savior. As Roman governor of Judea, he was given the responsibility to oversee the affairs of a most turbulent and troublesome province, and doubtless was informed by his spies concerning all that went on in Judea. There is no doubt that he must have heard about many accounts of our Lord's ministry, especially the miracles that Jesus performed. And I'm sure he heard about the raising of Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany wasn't that far from Jerusalem. And he heard about these things, and no doubt there were some kind of thoughts in his mind. But I want you to see, when he heard of Christ being the Son of God, he was made all the more anxious in his heart. In fact, it led to what we read in verse 9. As soon as he heard this, he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. He feared when he heard that Jesus was the Son of God. And when he went back in and questioned the Lord about the matter, from that moment onward, he tried again to release the Lord. Tell me, do you fear the Lord tonight? Do you tremble when biblical and eternal truth is preached? Is your heart troubled at all? You ought to fear. You ought to fear when you think about your sin. Your sin against God, a holy God. You ought to fear when you think about the consequences of your sin, where your sin one day will lead you. You ought to fear when you think about the condemnation that you're under. You ought to fear when you think of your lost estate. When you think of death, the fact that one day you must die. And to think about eternity, for at the point of death, you're ushered out into the great eternity of God. You ought to fear when you think about hell, when you think about the fires that burn everlastingly for the unregenerate. But my friend, you ought to fear when you consider who it is that you have to do with, and before whom one day you're going to stand. He's the Son of God. Son of God. And today the Son of God is your Savior. You can be saved. You can be saved tonight in this meeting. But on that great day, the Son of God will no longer be the Savior. He'll be the judge of all men. One day the great white throne will be set up. It's not a throne of mercy or a throne of grace. It's a throne of judgment. Revelation 20 tells us about it. The judge in all his dazzling splendor will sit upon that throne. Before him will be summoned all the nations of the earth. And men will stand at the judgment on that day. And judgment has been committed to him. The Son of God will sit upon the throne. What will you do then? What will you do then? Yes, the reality of his fear. The scripture tells us he was afraid. The reason of his fear, when he heard who it was, "This is the Son of God," says the Jews. But I want you to notice finally the response to his fear. How did he respond? How did he react? I want you to look again at verse 16 that we mentioned earlier. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away." I want you to see this is his response now. This is how he reacted to the fear that momentarily gripped his heart. You know, fearing God is not enough. I just want to say that to you tonight in this meeting. Fearing the consequences of your sin is not enough. Fearing the circumstances that you find yourself in without the Lord is not enough. Fearing the judgment is not enough. Fearing standing before God is not enough. Fearing hell is not enough. Fear saves no one. Though it's good to fear, it's good to tremble. a decision has to be made. And Pilate decided. He made his decision. 1 minute here in verse 8, we see him trembling. We see him the more afraid. But as the situation develops this day, as the history goes on to tell us, he delivered Jesus to be crucified. He made his decision. Do you see that? He ignored his feelings. He ignored his thoughts that he had about this man. He turned away from the truth. He shrugged off the fears that gripped his soul. He stifled the convictions of heart. He decided against Christ and he gave the sentence and he handed him over to die. And my friends, Pilate's lost forever. He's lost forever. What are you doing with your convictions? What are you doing with your troubled heart? With the feelings that you have, feelings of fear. Do you fear the Lord tonight? And if you do, there have been times in the past when you've sat in meetings like this and you've trembled and you've thought about God and you've thought about your destiny and you've thought about who it is that you will stand before someday in the judgment. And that fear has entered your heart. Tell me, what have you done about it? You shrugged it off? Counted it as nothing? What are you doing with the Son of God, the judge of all the earth? Because one day you will stand before him. What a day. An awful day that will be if you meet him and you're unready. You need the Savior. You need the Savior tonight. You need to do the right thing. You need to trust him. You need to flee to the cross. It's the only place of refuge and safety. I'm appealing to you tonight in this meeting. As we thought again about this, a very powerful man by the world's standards that lived all these years ago, Pontius Pilate. As we think about this wonderful privilege that he had, meeting Christ, communing with Christ, spending time, those hours, being confronted by the Savior, conversing with him, making statements about him, and seeing here this evening, here's a man, and fear grips his heart, even if it is just a short time, for a short time. Is it a picture of someone in this meeting? As you've come to and from the meetings, as you've sat in gospel services like this, the fear of God has gripped your heart, but as yet you've done nothing about it. No, if the truth is known, as yet you've done what Pilate has done. You've shrugged it off. You've counted it as nothing. And you've turned away from the Savior and from his speaking voice. Well, I say to you, in the mercy of God, he's brought you back to this service. Don't do it again tonight. Don't turn away from the Lord tonight. If God has spoken to your heart, if you fear the Lord tonight, and you fear meeting him someday, and you realize he is the Son of God, and one day you'll stand before him in judgment. You need to prepare for that day. You need to make sure that you have a right standing. And the only standing that is right for that day is to be found in Christ and clothed in his righteousness and washed in his blood. Oh, that you would come to the Savior and come to him tonight.